Well, if you're a first-time visitor this morning, and you thought, wow, that guitarist is going to preach, it's actually the other way around. Got the quote of the week that was given to me. I was part of the Taekwondo group, and Dave Corman was, do you want to bring the quote of the week? He brought it to me. He said, one of the kids came up to him and said, wow, this church is cool. I learned how to fight from the preacher. So, that'll be fun. So, come 3 o'clock, I'll be breaking a lot of boards today. So, we're gonna have a fun time. That'll be out at the Harrison Community Center during some of the fun fourth activities going on out there. So, anyway, we've been working through a series called Stressed Out. And if you came here stressed out and you don't like rock and roll, then you're probably more stressed out. If you came in here stressed out and that's the kind of music you dig, then you probably are feeling pretty all right about now. Because that's about as far as we take a Sunday morning service. So we had a good time with the kids during VBS. During our Stressed Out series, we've had three Success with Stress tips that we've been reviewing during this six-week series. We are concluding the series today. Next Sunday, we're going to be starting a brand new series. So the Success with Stress tips, do you guys remember tip number one? We're not going to put it up on the board until they get it. Was it? You guys are so quiet. Know your limits. You got it right. You got it right, but it's so quiet. Confidence. 6 weeks into this, you should know it. Know your limits. Success with Stress tip number two. Yes, build your boundaries based on priorities, yes. And number three, stop following fools. All right, so we got those. So we're going to go back to the top because today we're stressed out about our country. We planned this series so that it would end on July 3rd, being 4th of July weekend. This is something on our minds. All through the series, we've been stressed out about our kids, about our wife, about our time, about our job, about our money. We're stressed out about our country, I think. Was the team correct in that? Yes? Is that something that we're stressed out? Well, we're going to talk about some things today that hopefully will help you be able to deal with that stress. And we have to go all the way back at the top, and we have to know your limits. But today we're adding an extra word to the end of each of our key phrases. Okay, and this is a Mike Ladd addition. He's such a boom, 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 to the point. So we're going to have the Mike Ladd addition. If he were here, these are the words he'd be using. So know your limits. That means responsibility. Because once you define your limits, you're responsible for those limits. You're responsible for what's within those limits. Responsibility. First of all, I am one member of the kingdom of God. That's one of my limits. If you're taking notes with us this morning, you'll want to flip your bulletins over the back, and there's a place there for the notes, and you can write down the words that are in orange on the board. I am one member of the kingdom of God. That's my limit. I'm not 10, I'm not 20, I'm one person, I'm one member of the kingdom of God. That means that if I know my limits and I'm responsible for my limits, then I'm fully responsible for the actions of one member or one child of God. I want you guys to say that with me. I need some interaction. You guys were interacting with the band. It's awesome. Some of you, like the first half was. The back half, they were like. I mean, throughout the whole thing, too, I thought you guys were going to join in with this. So I want you to repeat this after me. I am fully responsible for the actions of one child of God. Okay, that's our limit. It's our first limit. Second limit is that I am one citizen of the United States of America. I'm one citizen of the USA. So when I look at my limit, then I'm responsible for what I am. So I want you to repeat after me. I am fully responsible for the actions of one American citizen. All right, now parents, grandparents, you say, well, you know what, I'm sort of responsible for my kids. Yes, there's a partial responsibility, but there's only one person you're fully responsible for, and that's you. So we know our limits. So number two, we're going to do what? Build boundaries. So let's build some boundaries based on priorities. And what that means is accountability. Because once you build boundaries, then you're accountable to those boundaries. You've got a fence. You've got a border. And now you've got something that you're held accountable to. So where do we base our priorities, Christians? Interactive. All right. See, this is not a TV screen. I can reach right through it. I see you. I know that's hard for you to believe, but I know you're out there. So where do we get our priorities? The Bible. Yes. God's most concrete form of communication to mankind is His Word, His Bible. Now, God speaks to our heart. God speaks to us through His Spirit. He speaks to us through His Spirit and other Christians. But His most concrete form of communication to mankind is His Word. This is where we set our priorities, Christian. This is where we get our boundaries. This is where we get our priorities is God's commandments. God's instructions for how we should live. I am fully responsible for the actions of one child of God and for one American citizen. And so since we have this kind of dichotomy that we're looking at this morning, we're going to look at two passages of Scripture that deal with each of these individually. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 4 and chapter 5. So if you want to go on and turn there in your Bibles, you go to Revelation and you start turning backwards. I know that sounds weird, but everything else is turned upside down today. So you go to Revelation and you turn backwards and you'll pass Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. It's easier to find it that way. 1 John chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I want to let you know that 1 John chapter 4 is one of the many passages in the Bible that gives us very simple guidelines on what a Christian is responsible for, what our accountability is as a Christian. And after you found that, I want you to hold your thumb there. I want you to take one of the pew cards or whatever and throw it in there and just mark your place. And I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 13. Because I am a child of God, and that's what we're going to be looking at in 1 John chapter 4 and 5. But I am also a citizen of America, of the United States of America. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 13. Romans is towards the beginning of your New Testament. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. So if you find any of those books there in the beginning of your New Testament, just keep turning forward till you get to Romans. And we're going to be back and forth between these two passages. In Romans 13, Paul clearly states what our boundaries are as citizens of a country. Now, Paul wasn't talking about America, but it's written general enough so that it can apply to any government you find yourself living under. But it's specific enough that we have some very practical teachings on how to be a citizen of a country, and particularly our country, America. So we're responsible, we're accountable. What are Christians accountable to? Well, Christians are accountable to love. Very simple. Let's go and write that down. Christians are accountable to love. I'm going to meet you guys there in that John passage. John chapter 4, verse 16 says, "And so we know and rely on the what? The love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in, and God in him." I'm going to skip on down to verse 19. "We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And he has given us this commandment: whoever loves God must also love his brother." So we got the general accountability. We must love, but here he goes into a more specific part of love. We must love our brother. Now, this isn't just talking about your siblings, your blood siblings. This is more like Jesus' definition of your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the story of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? Well, it's anybody that's in need. Who's my brother? According to this, it's your fellow man. So Christians, we are called to love our fellow man. We continue reading. He singles out an iffy group here, but we'll go on and pull it and then play with it. Verse 1 of chapter 5. He continues saying, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Now, that could be God's child, as far as his child. It could also be whoever loves God loves his children. Loves because that's what we do. We are Christians. We love. We don't only love because we're parents. We love because we're Christians. And if we can't love our children, our blood children, how are we going to expect to reach out and love other people? So you could look at it as far as loving our children, but then it kind of leans a little more towards loving God's children because the next verse helps to piece that together. He says, this is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commandments. So it is very clear there, we are to love God's children. We are to love the family, the church family. So you love your fellow man who is outside the church. You love your church family who's inside the church. Whether or not it says it here or not clearly, you better love your kids. That's in there in other places. And then finally, we love God. It says this is love for God, to obey his commandments. This is the love for God. This is how you love God. You obey his commandments. Jesus says the biggest commandments there are is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And you love God. In order to love God, you obey his commandments. I love that. It's like a little circle here. You love God, so you obey his commandments. You obey his commandments. What's his commandment? To love. We are accountable to love, Christians. Our responsibility is pretty clear. Love. And we will be held accountable to that one day. How did you love? What did you do? What did you not do to show love to your fellow man, to your brother in Christ, to God himself? It's a very simple boundary. It's based on a priority, one priority, and that is to love. Simple enough. Let's flip over to Romans chapter 13. So I am one child of God. I'm responsible for one child of God, but I'm also responsible for one American citizen, one U.S. citizen. So verse 1 of chapter 13 in Romans says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And he states it twice. So Paul's making sure that he's very clear. And he's saying, I'm accountable as an American citizen to the government established by God. He said it twice right there, that all authorities, they're established by God. They're put there by God. And I'm accountable to that because I'm an American citizen. Just because I'm a Christian, that doesn't mean that I'm free from the accountability placed in the hands of the government. I am accountable to our government. Now, am I commanded to agree with everything the government passes? No. But I am assured by this verse that government is there by God's design. And sometimes that takes a lot of faith to believe that. It's there by God's design. It's a government established by God. And so therefore, we are to submit to them. So what happens if I do or I don't love as a Christian? What happens if I do or I don't submit to the authority of the government as an American citizen? Well, then we get to our final little tip. And that is stop following fools. We stop following fools because there are consequences to our actions. And if you follow a fool, you're going to get a fool's consequence. I don't like a fool's consequence. I've gotten a number of them in my life. I'm probably in store for a few more. I don't like them. So we stop following fools. And what that means is that there are consequences. You have responsibility, accountability, and consequences. So we're adding another three to pair up with the three we've already got these six weeks. You are responsible for what you know you are, what you have. You are accountable. And there will be consequences with how you handle what you're responsible for, and how you are accountable to that. So let's flip back over to 1 John chapter 4. chapter 5, actually. We've passed 4. Chapter 5, verse 4, and we'll continue reading. For everyone born of God does what? Oh, come on now. Everyone born of God does what? This is the victory. I like that word. I just like the way it sounds. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's who overcomes the world. Guys, this is great news. Because, see, consequences don't always have to be bad. We always look at consequences and we think, oh no, here's the bad thing. Here's the punishment. Here's the... No, this is a consequence of remaining in God. If you love, you remain in him. If you love, you live in him and he lives in you. We just read that. Short-term memory. You guys with me? God is love. We love because he first loved us. And if we love, we remain in him. And if we continue with that behavior, then we have a consequence for that. And that consequence is, I get to overcome the world. Let's write that down. That's good news. The consequences for my behavior when it comes to following Christ, I'll let it get up on the screen. We'll flip to the next one. Is that if I'm born of God, no matter how bad it may get down here, I will overcome the world. We've been talking about being stressed out. No matter what's got you stressed out today, no matter how bad your home life is, or how bad your body is riddled with disease, or how bad your marriage is, or how bad you're sitting financially, or how you feel like you might have failed your kids as a parent. All of these things that we stress out about, even if we never resolve them, even if I never show up on time for something, I'm getting better. Even if we never get to our work budget balanced where we have the right energy and the right emotions dedicated to work so we can bring some home to our family and our wife and our kids, no matter how bad our government is, the fact still sits that if we remain in God, the responsibility of being a Christian, the accountability of staying prioritized by his word and living in love, then the consequences are that no matter how bad it is, I will overcome the world. Man, that's good news. I'm responsible for the actions of one Christian. I'm accountable to love. And the consequence is that I will overcome the world. But I'm still in the world right now. I'm still in the world. I'm still under this God-established government. I'm still an American citizen. So what are my consequences there? Go on and flip with me back over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 2. Says, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. So ultimately, if you rebel against the government, you're rebelling against God. Keep that in mind. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he what? For he does not... God's given our government authority, and our government does not bear the sword for nothing. You get out of line, you do things the wrong way, there will be consequences. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. And then skip on down to verse 7. He's saying this is why you pay taxes. He says, give to everyone that you owe him. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. God has granted the authority to our government to dish out consequences when we step out of line. God's word doesn't often support entitlement. But in this passage, we see Paul supporting entitlement towards our government. He says, this is what they do, and you owe them. You owe them taxes and revenue, which for us, that's all taxes. For them, it was property taxes. Revenue was basically income tax. So for us, it's just tax. You owe that to them. Give it to them. And quit complaining about it. There are better things to waste your mind on. Give. Be a giving people. Give respect. Not because you don't have to agree with everything they say or everything that they pass or everything that they're fighting for, but they are a government office and they are established by God, and therefore we owe them our respect. So we respect those in power. And we honor. We honor those who serve our country. We honor our government officials because we owe that to them. So the lines are clearly drawn. We have responsibility, accountability, and consequences on both sides of the spectrum. We have responsibility, accountability, and consequences as a Christian. We have responsibility, accountability, and consequences as a United States citizen. So how does all this work to help drop our stress level? I thought we were supposed to be, getting rid of stressed out. Now you're bringing in this tension here between being a Christian, being a U.S. citizen. How does this work together? What can I do about it? Well, here's a simple bottom line. When everything is all considered, here's a simple bottom line when all is considered. As a Christian American, we must. Please write that down. Even if you throw your bulletin away, at least you've written it down and it's a way of imprinting it on your memory. As a Christian American, we must do the right thing as a Christian, the right way under the authority established by God through our government. We must do the right thing the right way, honoring and respecting the established government that exists. We cannot sit idly, Christians, and watch our country move more and more in a direction that is off of Christ-centered principles. We cannot sit still while that happens. We have to act. We have to do something. We must. We can look at the years and years and years of the Old Testament Israel. The Old Testament Israel, and you can watch as the rise and the decline of their morals. It was a direct reflection of the rise and decline of their prosperity. When they were honoring God and turning their faces back to God, then God would allow them to prosper. He would bless them. And it was obvious, these are God's people. They have made Him and His morals and His priorities and His principles the center of their society, the center of their homes. But when they would let that slide and they would turn to other gods and they would turn their face and they would turn their back on God, then God would allow things to happen to them. He let them see what it looked like when He would step back and remove His protection from them. They would get taken over. They couldn't withstand it by themselves. They needed God. And we're no different. As we turn our back on God as a country, I fear for what may happen, considering the history of the Israelite nation, because we are now God's chosen people. It's not just limited to the Israelites, the Jews. We're told in the New Testament, we are the new Israel. We are the chosen people. We can't sit back and let the same thing happen to America. Christians, you are responsible and accountable to love, and affecting our government in a direction that supports Christ-centered values in ways that protect God's principles. Whether or not our fellow man understands it or not, that is loving them, because what's in here is best for their lives. And when we stand strong and we keep this supported in our country, that is a form of loving our brothers who we don't even know, our fellow man. Because what's in here is better for them. Regardless of what they believe, truth is truth. If that little passage of scripture is talking about loving our children, this is the way that we can love our children, Christians. The future of our nation and where they're going to live and the freedoms that they're going to have. By supporting the morals and the principles found in the Bible, politically supporting those. And that loves our Christian family. Because we'll be able to maintain, to be able to meet freely and worship. I don't think we grasp how quickly and subtly our nation is falling away. We take for granted the freedom of being able to worship together. I'm afraid if the country continues in the direction it is going, this is not a freedom that we're going to enjoy. And it might not be us, it might be our children, it might be your grandchildren. You want to love your children, you want to love your fellow man, you want to love the church, you want to love God. This is how you can do it. This is one way. Beyond all that, we have a moral obligation to speak out. Take responsibility as a Christian, as an American, and be responsible. Be responsible as a Christian, be responsible as a citizen. And understand that we have to be accountable to our government because there are consequences if we go about forwarding the kingdom agenda in the wrong way. So we have to do the right thing the right way, and that's how these two merge. So what can I do? I'm stressed out about my country. What can I do? Well, I want you to do something for me. I want you to pull out this little green sheet out of your bulletins. And it has it up there if it's not clear enough. I'm stressed out about my country. What can I do? This is a list of things you can do. Just in case you would forget the obvious, pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the people of our nation. Pray for your Christian brothers and sisters that they would also stand strong with you. Pray. Stay informed. Most representatives will post on their websites or they'll let you subscribe to newsletters. If you're not web savvy, you can subscribe to the newsletter. If you are web savvy, a lot of our browsers now, you can have multiple home pages. Set up one of your home pages on a different tab to be for your senator or your congressman, because they post these things. They post modern, up-to-date issues that are being voted on and that are being considered. Stay informed. You can stay informed through social media. If you're even more technologically savvy, you could sign up for their Twitter accounts or follow them on Facebook, and they post things that are being voted on the floor of Congress. In those Twitter accounts and the Facebook feeds. A lot of us run around our country and say, well, I wasn't informed. I didn't know what was happening. And you know what? We sat here. We will put something in the bulletin for 3 weeks. We'll put it in the newsletter. We'll put it on the website. We'll announce it here in church. We'll have a poster out front about it. And we'll still have someone come up to us and say, well, I didn't know VBS was this week. Honest. Honest. I didn't know the North American was this week. Are you serious? It was the front page of the newsletter. It's been on the front of the website for weeks. Politicians make it a point to inform us. We're not informed because we don't go looking. Christians, take responsibility. Americans, take responsibility. You're responsible for one, and that's you. Stay informed. It's out there. Attend a town hall meeting. Your representatives host in person a town hall meeting. And it's a way for them to get connected with their constituents. And they can get a legislative update. They can give a legislative update. And they're also there to be able to listen to your concerns and opinions. So you can voice your concerns and opinions on what's going on that day. The next town hall meeting for our current congressman is August 1st at the St. Bernard Community Center. You have it right there in black and white. Put it up on your refrigerator. You don't have an excuse. I don't want to get up from my couch. That's fine. There are these things that are called telephone town hall meetings. I've got a phone number there that's been given to me from one of the ladies that works for our current congressman. And you can call that number, and she will make sure that you're on the list for the next telephone town hall meeting. And they work very similar to a town hall meeting. You call in, you can just sit there and listen to them. Or if you have an issue or something or an opinion, you can voice your opinion. You can talk to them about it. You get a chance to interact through those meetings as well. Get involved in a group. If social issues are your most important, motivating political issue, then you can get involved in issue groups, very specific issue groups like the Right to Life group. I'm just bringing up an example. There are a lot of different ones out there. Whatever your issue is. Or you could join a group by general basis of thought, either conservative or liberal thinking. Those are typically considered party groups. Or if you'd like to support a whole slate of candidates, you could get involved with your local Republican or Democrat clubs. I don't care. This is nonpartisan. This is about being a Christian and about being an American and about the importance of our influence. Get involved. Make your voice heard. If a specific issue is tugging at your heart, this one kind of shocked me. A lot of this information came straight from our congressman's office. And if a specific issue is tugging at your heart, you can write a letter. A letter to the editor and submit it to the Inquirer or the community press. And the Inquirer publishes almost every letter on their website. And many letters get to the actual paper, to be printed in the paper. And believe it or not, politicians really do pay close attention to these. They have a unique ability to impact decisions. This was sent to me in a personal email from our congressman's office. I would have never thought that letters were read that and taken that much to heart. They have a unique ability to impact decisions. Meet with your representative. Give them a call. If you got a specific issue and you want to have a meeting with them, call them. Be so bold. Be a Christian. We should be bold. Our leader's bold. There are also roundtable groups that advise the congressman on policy issues. There's currently a small business roundtable group, so if you're involved in small business, call up. Say, I want to be part of the small business roundtable. There's a medical roundtable. There's a religious leaders roundtable group that I'm a part of. I've been out there. I've met with our current congressman and the religious leaders roundtable group twice now with them. You get to share. You get to hear what's happening in Washington. This one was a very unique tip that was given to me during my last meeting downtown. And that is, get involved with your school systems. This is proven throughout history that this is effective. And you might not see it in your time. Your kids might start to see it. But it's when these children that are in elementary school, when they get into the 30s and 40s and they're leading our country. Because right now they're being influenced by people who have an agenda to influence them against biblical truth, against biblical philosophies. These are outsiders that are volunteering with that agenda in mind. Christians, get in there. What an easy way of affecting our nation for the kingdom's sake. Go be a volunteer at the local school and start to bring biblical truth and biblical philosophies back to these children. Simply through love. You're accountable to love. Simply through being there, sharing with them, building relationships. And when the door opens, you can share truth. That's easy. And our Southwest local schools so far have been very encouraging towards church involvement and Christians involved in their school system. I don't know how things are going to change, but so far things have been wide open there. Get a foot in while you can. And finally, vote. One of the things I was told about Washington is that right now, for the biblical agenda, and I'm not talking conservative, liberal, nothing, no Democrat, Republican, I'm just talking straight, for biblical principles to move forward in our government right now, it's a standstill. It's not going to happen because of the way things are set up. Right now, all they can do, those who base their faith on the Bible, are politicians that are biblically believing principles in the Bible they're trying to push forward. All they can do is stop bad things from happening at this point the way things are set up. It's up to you, Christians, to vote. You're one Christian. You're one American. Vote. Help them. You're responsible. You're accountable. And there are consequences.